Daily Wisdom. Hi, this is Carl Kosart from the School of Theology at Walla Walla College. Welcome to Probe, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we continue in our series of topics entitled, Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet, the Bible for Today. To help us explore this important subject, I've invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussions, Dr. Bruce Johansson, Professor of Biblical Studies, and Dr. Zdravko Stefanovic, also Professor in Biblical Studies. Gentlemen, welcome, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you.
Daily Wisdom. Advice for a life well lived, it seems that everyone has that advice nowadays. Most bookstores have entire sections devoted solely to books that promise tips and secrets on how to live life at its best. In fact, there's even a collection of books in Scripture that are called daily or wisdom literature. And we have today an expert in that area, Dr. Stefanovic, expert in the Old Testament. Can you tell us, what is this biblical wisdom literature? Is it like the stuff we find in the self-help sections of bookstores?
The books of the Bible are usually tied to the people who either wrote them or who exemplified through their lives what it means to live a good life. Therefore, when it comes to the Old Testament, we talk about the office of a priest who served in a holy place, mm-hmm. like the temple. We would have the office of the prophets, and therefore collection of the books called prophets. But then there was the office of wise people, wise men and women. And their teachings were kind of assembled, and we have them now in the form of books. And they are in the Bible, like Proverbs, another one, Ecclesiastes, or the book of Job. Our problem is that the people who exemplify those principles that are found in wisdom books of the Bible are no longer alive. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we turn around and we look for a role model, you know. Mm-hmm. And so basically, those are the books that were written as collections of the assembled wisdom sayings.
And a moral guidance for how to live life.
And another word that I would like to add to it is that they are of very practical nature, mm-hmm. because the biblical terms like chokmah in Hebrew or sophia in Greek, they deal with practical aspect of wisdom, you know, how to live a balanced life, how to live a good life, how to help other people. It's not something just esoteric or theoretical.
You know, when we talk about advice, it seems to me that our problem is not a lack of advice, but really the power to implement that. So when we talk about this, are these just good ideas, or is there a power connected to them as well? How do we define wisdom? Is it wise sayings? Wisdom, is it different? Any thoughts?
All of the above.
All of the above, yeah. I think wise sayings don't make wisdom until they're lived, in a sense.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if that's helpful.
Wisdom is the personal experience.
You talked about they were wise people who mm-hmm. wrote this, and we look at their lives, and their lives most often, but not always, mm-hmm. exemplify wise behavior.
Yes.
And so it is a combination with saying it, but also living it.
And as you say that, I'm also reminded that in the Bible, the ultimate source of wisdom is the Creator God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by the way, it's not just in the Bible, isn't it, that among the Babylonians, Marduk, mm-hmm. their supreme god, mm-hmm. and they believed that he created the universe.
Yeah.
He was considered to be the source of wisdom. So wisdom comes from the Creator God, and that God created things in life mm-hmm. and people in life to exemplify that wisdom. Mm-hmm. So wisdom may not necessarily always be like straight, direct mm-hmm. voice from heaven,
right.
but through the lives yeah. of the people around yeah. us, yeah. so that we can see them and be inspired by them.
You know, when we look at the lives of ancient people, this raises the question, can we learn from the wisdom of others or the mistakes of others, or does our moral education have to take place firsthand? I mean, I think if you have teenagers, right, you have all kinds of good advice for them, and you kind of pull your hair out because sometimes they just don't want to listen. Can we learn from the mistakes of others, or do we have to kind of experience it ourselves?
I've had teenagers at one time, too, and you know what they call the advice? Psychobabble.
Psychobabble.
and we always chuckle about that now. You know, really, when you think about it, It's when people when the talk is walked, when people walk the talk, that kind of wisdom becomes just amazingly powerful. You think of some of the greatest people who ever lived. Jesus Christ, he's called the wisdom of God.
Yes,
it wasn't just a gospel he spoke. He walked it right to the cross. Think of Gandhi, another great man. He really practiced
life, yeah.
what he preached, and he had an enormous impact on the world. So I do think it's not enough to just mouth it. It's so powerful when you see it happen and consistently in a person's life. That is life-changing.
The real wisdom.
Yeah.
You have also mentioned teaching by contrast. People would also remember the stories of people, of other people who were not following the rules,
yes.
In fact, went against all the rules and paid the ultimate price.
Yeah.
And they would tell those stories and illustrate what the outcome.
I think it's probably a little bit of both because you know we heed a counsel and advice, and sometimes in our foolishness we don't, and we learn the hard way. Hopefully, we can learn from the mistakes of others. It's easier that way.
And then, unfortunately, our Bible is very realistic. There are people who don't live wisely and nevertheless prosper. And the psalmist pulls his hair out over them.
Yes.
There are those people. And then, of course, the opponents of truth would say, well, yeah, see, look, he smoked all his life and he never had cancer.
You know what? And I was thinking right there, I thought, this goes back to George Burns, who just smoked up a storm, and he just lived on and on and on. You say, how can that happen? So, there are the things you pull your hair out, but still, I think the testimony is very clear.
The testament, the overwhelming evidence.
Yes, very much so.
In the study of wisdom books from the Bible, we usually talk about that principle that is called technically Deuteronomic principle.
What does that mean?
It comes from the book of Deuteronomy, and basically it can be summarized in one or two statements. Obey the words of God, and you shall live and prosper.
Mm-hmm.
If you disobey, the opposite is going to happen.
Yeah.
What is nice about the Bible is it talks about the book of Job, the book of Ecclesiastes, that there are exceptions to that rule. Now, the rule is okay.
It balances it out.
Right, but we need to keep in mind that there are exceptions. Mm. And in fact, entire books in the Bible are devoted to the problem of the exceptions, like we have mentioned the book of Job.
And they're very important.
Yeah, and the exceptions are there because of the problem of evil. I tell my kids over and over, don't expect life to be fair. Don't expect it to be fair. Things will work out. If you do behave wisely, it will go better for you. But don't expect life to be fair.
I'm just wondering, because wisdom books of the Bible, and in general wisdom from the Bible, is not a topic that is very much discussed nowadays. And I'm wondering about our listeners, how many of us really realize that Jesus was a wisdom teacher?
Mm. Yes, exactly.
So do we have wisdom literature in the New Testament?
A lot.
A lot. Sermon on the Mount?
Yes, very much so.
Book of James? Mm.
Many of the parables of Jesus.
Many of the parables, right down the line. And Jesus is called the wisdom of God.
You know, when we look at those, and we do have many examples. You mentioned the Sermon on the Mount and so forth. What role does the mention of God have in connection to the wisdom literature? I mean, could you take out in our secular society the foundation of the belief in God and just have the principles, and would those principles be sufficient without a belief in God? Could you just put those in practice without belief? What role does belief and the belief in, of course, ultimately that God stands behind these things? Is wisdom connected to following God, or are these just principles that anyone could enact? What do you think?
Boy, you see, I think that Jesus' wisdom preached about an upside-down kingdom.
Mm.
If you follow the wisdom of the world, if you took God out of the equation, there would be no resolution to the kind of upside-down kingdom that is there.
Mm.
You see, I think our Gospels are a critique of power. And the world teaches people that if you've got power, use it and push other people down and raise yourself up. Whereas Jesus says, become a servant.
Mm.
Love your enemy. Those kinds of things.
It really makes no sense without that connection.
I don't know.
Fear the Lord is the what? The beginning of wisdom,
Of wisdom, yeah. I think God is there to tell the rest of the story because mm-hmm. you may love your enemy and he may kill you.
Yeah.
And God is there outside of that story.
That's true. I mean, if you kind of shocked me with that statement, you love your enemy, because the typical response is that they'll be transformed by that process and they will return that love and kind. But
look at the guys who went to Baghdad to serve the people there, and some of them paid with their lives.
Yeah.
And it is possible to imagine that if we had someone among us today present and joining in the discussion, that person could say, well, I'm not a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I have some wisdom mm-hmm. and I can give a good life. Mm-hmm. I can live a good life. I can help others. So it's possible to do that without God. And theoretically, mm-hmm. I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, on the other hand, since we have said that the Bible says that true wisdom comes from the Creator God,
mm-hmm.
That person may not be even aware of how religious he or she is.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's true too. My mother has always said, even if it weren't all true, I would still want to live this way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true.
And that impressed me.
Very powerful.
What is significant to me is that in a few places in the Bible, the followers of God and Christ are called good people,
mm-hmm.
but it's rare.
Mm-hmm.
The most common designation is wise people.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus called his followers primarily as those who are wise.
Mm-hmm.
Wise men built his house upon the rock.
Yes.
Wise virgins waited for the coming of the bridegroom. And then also in Matthew 24, when it talks about the second coming of Christ, it's again a wise servant who is ready for the master's appearance.
You know, we've talked in previous lessons about the biblical illiteracy in our nation and around this world. So if we take away our biblical wisdom literature, who are the moral teachers out there in our society?
Wow.
Is there perhaps a great need of moral teachers?
You'd have to go back to Epictetus. You'd have to go back to Buddha.
Yeah.
Those would be the places you'd have to go to.
Today, and we don't find too many.
No, today.
First billboards?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a real dearth, I think.
Recently, with our son, we watched a presentation by a famous rock star
mm-hmm.
who talked about his walk with God, and that was a surprise. So sometimes, even though we see people appearing on the screen and so on, we don't really know what's in the heart of those people.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, this has been a great discussion. I appreciate your help once again to Dr. Brewster Hansen and Dr. Stravko Savanovic, and of course to Susan Michael for her technical assistance who makes this all possible, and to you, our faithful listeners of Probe. Please join us next week as we continue to explore the importance the Bible has for us today. For Probe, I'm Carl Kosar.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.